Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
New York Stage and Film and Vassar College is celebrating their 30th year of their powerhouse theater collaboration. The production underway now is Richard Greenberg's The Babylon Line, directed by Terry Kinney and headlined by How I Met Your Mother star Josh Radnor and Leslie Bibb, star of Neil LaBute's Reasons to Be Happy. It is a great pleasure to welcome both Leslie Bibb and Josh Radnor to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us. We didn't know who was going to speak first.
We're
still trying
to
negotiate this.
It's going to be a mud wrestle pretty soon.
Yeah.
You're figuring out those lines. Makes sense. So how is it going so far?
It's terrifying.
It's just, it's such a beautiful play, and it's a lot to throw on its feet in 3 weeks. But that's how Vassar always is. This is my fourth summer here, and
right. You
always have this abbreviated rehearsal process. And that's part of the fun of it, is the fly by the seat of your pants. You know, this cast is so great, and we just all pulled together, and I the play is wonderful, and you really want to do well by the play, because the play is so great that you want to give it the best version of its first life that you can.
Yeah, and you want to, it is like Richard and our Richard Greenberg, the playwright, as well as Terry Kinney, our director. I find that we all want them, we like them so much, and they're so talented, and they're so patient, and they're so
generous.
We've
transferred all our parental love needs onto them.
They're patriarch.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to do well for them.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody this morning, and they said, you know, Richard is as complicated and as hard to do as Shakespeare. And it is. It's so wrought with meaning, every word. No word is a throwaway, nothing. Every word has deep, deep meaning. And so it's been such an incredible experience in the last 3 weeks to learn this text and imbue this text
and kind of excavate.
Yes.
Go underneath the words. And
drink it and then put it on its feet. And, you know, we had tech yesterday for 12 hours racing through it. And it's really what Terry's doing with it is just incredible. And so it's exciting. I'm actually excited to have it in front of an audience and see what they respond to and sort of get it out in the world. It needs to get out there. I think we've had it too long in our pocket.
Mm. Yeah, I have to share it with the rest of the world.
It's
fascinating of just listening to you talk about the language and about Richard Greenberg's work, because this is a show about a writer from Greenwich Village who commutes to Levittown to teach this creative writing class. But it's very much about the discovery and of the power of storytelling.
Yeah, and I think it's about happiness, and I think it's about kindred spirits, and I think it's about what it means to be an artist, and I think it's about fear.
Yeah, I mean, like all great works, it's about 12 to 20 different things. You know, I mean, the thing is,
yes.
Like someone said, Frank Wood, who's in the cast with us, he said, when you describe this play, it almost sounds like, you know, Stand and Deliver or like a TV movie, like people discover who they are in this adult ed creative writing class. And it's not, it is that,
yes,
on some level. And on another level, it's so much more poetic and layered and complicated and
textured.
Interesting. And he plays with time in such interesting ways. Like in the one of the first days, he said, this is my attempt at writing a happy play. But it's really interesting because it is a happy play, but they don't know that. The characters don't know. They think they're in a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
but they do. But it ultimately is a happy play. It's really interesting how he does this and how he works on multiple tracks all at the same time. It's so clear this is not like a first-time playwright. Like this guy really knows what he's doing. And
this play is 5 years old. He's had this play for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, just sitting around.
Just sitting around in the back, in the
he's
back
someone,
corner.
He's someone who's, I just feel like his muse has never shut off. Like, he doesn't even know how many plays he's written.
I'm going to punch you for saying that.
What?
Muse was never shut off. So beautiful. I'm going to punch you in the face. It was so beautiful.
I thought you were angry because it was pretentious.
No, I say that with love.
Oh.
Like, who says I'm...
Richard Greenberg would say that.
I know. That's why I'm going to punch you in the face.
I'm telling you, I've taken to speaking like Richard Greenberg. I can't help it.
He's around, right?
up. No, not yet. He comes tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We don't think he's not a he's a city man.
He's a city man.
He fears the country.
But he was yeah.
The country of Poughkeepsie.
He said something. We were talking, and he was like, "Oh, I was at Williamstown for 2 weeks 2 years ago," and he was like, "Oh, it's the bugs. Like it was just like Williamstown."
No, this to him is like the frontier.
Yes, he's coming in on a covered wagon.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is, I mean, he's a creature of habit. I understand that. I understand the creature, the
he's
comfort
kind
of that.
To get pretentious again, there's a Flaubert quote. No, I'm kidding. It's something like be ordered and regular in your real life so you can be wild and crazy in your art. And I feel like Richard's kind of like that. Like
you just have Flaubert in the back pocket.
Yeah, it's just ready to go.
Like a little dice.
Look, I've been preparing for this interview for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
My whole life.
I mean, therein lies the problem. Like, Josh, very eloquent. Me, you might have to bleep me because I'm going to swear. Like, it's like gut. One comes from the gutter and the other is very, very, very cultured.
You know, Leslie, I think the last time we spoke to you was at Williamstown. You were on the show for...
Last of the Red Hot Lovers.
That's right.
That was my first play.
It was amazing. I mean, you were in it with Susie Essman and Brooks Ashmanskas and
I can never say his and Heidi Schreck.
Great cast, and it was a wonderful, wonderful show.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, at what point do you say, okay, I want to keep doing this? I want to keep doing what you described as crazy and insanity earlier of coming and doing this in such a short period of time.
I think every time, even last year when I did Neil's play, I was like, what are we doing? I remember, I'm so naive sometimes. I think sometimes ignorance is bliss. But I was in the middle of preview week, and it was my first off-Broadway play. And I said something like I'd heard like Ben Brantley had come on Wednesday, and I guess preview started on Monday. And it was Wednesday, and I had heard that he'd come. So by Friday, I'm sitting around, I'm talking to the cast, and I was like, oh, thank God those critics are gone. And they're like, what are you talking about? They come the whole week. And I was like, no, there's only like four of them who come. And they were like, I was like, Brantley came already. We're done. And they're like, no, we're getting judged the whole week. And I was like, oh, my God, this is awful. But I don't know. It's exhilarating. It's really fun. And I guess you should do things that scare you. Because they make you better, and
it's kind of a theme of the play.
It is a theme of the play, but I think every time, and I think getting to work with people like Richard and Terry
and Josh,
and my friend Josh,
who I'm learning so much from,
so much, so talented, handsome present, and talented, handsome. And what else?
Present.
I like DePresent.
He's also DePresent.
And he's super DePresent. And but yeah, like I think you've got to do things that scare the shit out of you.
See, now they have to.
Oh, there you go. That's all right. We can do that.
Yeah, that's okay. But like, you know what I mean? You have to, because if you don't, I feel like that's where mediocrity lies, and mediocrity scares me to death.
So what keeps bringing you back, Josh? You mentioned this is your fourth season. You get done with.
It's the money.
The money.
Sure, it's
the money.
Money. Bob.
I just follow the money. And
the
I hear
money.
It at the theater, summer theaters, where the money is.
Final season of How I Met Your Mother, it all ends, and you say, I'm going to Poughkeepsie and I'm going to collect a check.
I'm going to get some big dollars.
You know, that feels entirely right to me somehow. You know, I was an acting apprentice here when I was in college. Every six or seven years or so, they call and offer me a play on the main stage, and I've always said yes because. This feels like an artistic home for me. It also reminds me sometimes when I've been doing one thing too long and I think, oh, I've forgotten that. Do I love acting still? And then I come back to Vassar and I remember, yeah, I really do.
But that's a really interesting thing. I think as grateful as one can be, I'm talking as somebody who knows what Josh's life is like, but I don't. But like, I would imagine that having and there's a safety in that, but doing something and knowing a character so thoroughly like that and doing so many, I mean, that's nine years of something, of the same character, I think you do have to be reminded, like,
yeah,
it's grateful,
you know,
as
it's
much
great,
as you love it,
but
yeah.
You also, you do begin to lose your mind a little bit, and I think it's because the actor DNA is a little more mercurial, and you want to do lots of different things and jump into a lot of different shoes. And the other thing is, film and TV is just a different process. It's a nonlinear process. Right. You're shooting out of order. A lot of times it's just shoulder up acting. Whereas you get on stage, you do the whole thing. You get to experience the whole character's arc every night. You're using your entire body. Everything's engaged. It's just a different process. And I also like the fact that you get to work on new plays with some of the top talent in the country, and at the same time, you're not being judged by critics for 2 weeks straight. It's a very safe environment to fail or succeed, and I think it gives the playwright a wonderful chance to hear their play or see their play in a fairly safe environment.
I think also, too, you want to be at a part of the club that does theater in a way. I mean, as dumb as that sounds, it's like all the actors that I admire the most all do theater. They've all done it. They've all done, like, they know that fear. They know that exhilaration. They know that frustration. They know all of that. And so I think those people, when they do that. So you want to be a part of that, because it's people. A lot of actors don't do it. They're too terrified of it. And I think that, you know, you have to push yourself.
In some ways, you have to, as a theater actor, you have to be your own editor. Right. You know, a lot of people who do a lot of film and TV, they're dependent upon the editor and the director picking their best takes and kind of assembling their performances based on, you know, really exciting stuff. But sometimes a lot of what you do isn't really usable. And hopefully, if the director and editor is good, they're going to be making you look very good. But as a theater actor, you're really exposed. You're really laid bare. And you have to string together the performance every night. And there's something, again, like vulnerable about that, but also exhilarating.
I think Bea Arthur once told me that the best part of being...
I already love the start of this sentence. I already am a huge fan.
Whatever
of
you
this.
Say,
whatever
is
you
gonna
say,
be great.
It doesn't matter. I love it.
Well, is that the best part of doing television is that in a series TV is that there's a stability and a schedule, and the worst part about it is stability and a schedule.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, I remember. You know, I went to grad school at NYU right out of college. And so when I got out of school, I had never been outside of like this kind of academic schedule. And then when I got back on the show for 9 years, I had a summer. You know, we would start in August and go through March or April. And it really felt like I was on this, you know, 8 months of the year on a show, 4 months of the year in the summer. And it regularized my life in all sorts of good ways. And again, me and Bea Arthur agree.
Yeah.
In some bad ways.
But it gave you the opportunity to write and direct.
Correct.
And do all of the stuff like that.
Yeah, and some of that came from really wanting to do it, and other parts of it came from the restlessness of feeling a little...
Of not wanting to become depressant.
Yeah, I didn't want to become
depressant.
Depressant. Good callback.
That's a new word. It's out there. It's going to be... Everyone's going to say it.
What do you hope to accomplish over the next few days on stage
a
through
Tony!
July 6th? A Tony.
Leslie, we've been over this. You can't win a Tony,
a Tony
for this performance.
We're going to win.
I'm still educating her in the ways of the theater, but she's coming along.
An Oscar. An Emmy.
Some sort of award. That's all.
I call it a Josh.
You're
going to
win
a Josh's.
Josh. Yeah.
I'm going to win a gold Josh at the end of this.
With a baseball cap.
With a baseball cap that's only 2 years old.
But signed by Daryl Strawberry.
I
think the autograph is only 2 years old. I think the hat is much older. Correct, Josh?
Yes.
Yeah, correct.
What do we hope? I don't know. I hope it continues somehow.
That it goes on.
Yeah, somehow. I feel like that this can't be it for it, because it's so beautiful. And it's such a wonderful play. It would be so sad for this just to be it, because I think it's such a wonderful play that I hope that it finds legs somewhere else. That being said, if I'm not asked to go with it, then I'll have to Tanya Harding, the next person who plays Joan.
And me, just for...
And of course
just
you.
Just to be a completist.
Just, like, yeah. As a pair, I like
yeah.
to do it. You'll be my Jeff Galooly, was that his name?
I don't recall the scandal
think,
as well
yeah,
as you
I think
do.
He actually did it.
Oh, okay.
So I'll get you.
You want me to do it?
Yes.
Oh my God, this has turned so
we'll
dark.
We'll be in collusion. It'll be fun. And, no, that's terrible. I'm not making fun of Nancy Kerrigan's pain, but... I don't know. I think it has to find some place.
That would all be lovely. But I'm really looking forward to getting it in front of an audience, because I feel it's, you know, it's one of those plays for me that it came alive once I started working on it. I mean, I said yes to it because the elements were just too good to say no to.
Right.
it plays so much better than it reads, which I think is as a play should be. I mean, you prefer that to the reverse, where a play reads well but doesn't perform well. And I think Richard is a proper playwright. He's writing things to be performed. But also there's another element that when you fold the audience in and they hear the play for the first time, you hear the play again for the first time. You're learning what you're saying, and some lines you didn't think were laugh lines turn out to be really funny in context, and other lines that you kind of thought maybe would be hilarious that are not. So that's a whole other process of bringing the audience in, and I can't wait. I mean, I'm terrified, a little bit terrified. It's just...
Josh is very cool, but you're very cool about this. You're
yeah?
Like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, you don't, like, you do not reveal that you're scared.
Well, as I said to a friend of mine, I have an MFA in masking embarrassment and terror. that's kind of what a degree in acting does for you.
I don't disagree with Josh, but I just have a different one. I read the play. I kept reading it over and over because mm-hmm. I loved it. I just fell into the words in such a way. But you do get it on its feet, and you start to listen to it, and you start to really... And every one of these actors in this play, when you see them bring each part to life, it's really exciting. I'm looking forward. I mean, I sounded result-oriented when I said, like, you know, I hope it has legs. But I just think even having, whatever, 10 days of doing this part, I feel like I'll be a different actor at the end of it. And that's really all I can hope for now, is to hope that I'm somehow better and a deeper actor and stretched in a way than I was before all of this. And I already feel like that's happening. This is what I find with theater. It forever changes you in a profound way, in a deeply profound way. And the cast is really, you never know what you're going to get with other
yeah.
actors. I mean, we're crazy and we're weird. And then this whole group is so lovely.
God. I told Joanna Felser, who's the artistic director yes. of stage and film, she was there last night, I said, every single person in this cast can elicit a belly laugh from me just from being those little silly things they say. And it's a great, great,
but
great group.
Let's be honest.
What?
Julie Halston.
Julie Halston's the funniest person I've ever met.
Ever. And she does amazing impersonations.
Yeah. And she'll do them for you. It's like putting a quarter in the machine and just pressing.
Oh, just ask.
Stories.
She's so generous.
Yeah.
And then you have Randy Graff and Maddie Corman, who Terry calls the Three Furies. Because they play these three women in the class, and they're outstanding together. Randy is amazing as well. She's just so locked in into this part. You have the amazing, amazing Frank Wood, who every time he opens my mouth, I have to...
He opens his mouth.
Opens, what did I say?
You said opens my
your mouth, yeah.
Oh, that
What's
sounds
going on with
dirty!
You
Open, no, because I was thinking opens his mouth. I have to, like, remind myself to stay in the scene as the character, because all of a sudden Leslie pops up and I just find myself wanting to turn and watch him because he's so good.
I know.
Like when he does these
I don't
speeches,
even know what's good about him, in the way that a lot of times you can watch people and
opens
steal.
Your mouth.
Yes. No, you can steal from people, right? You can be
yes.
like, oh, I'm going to steal that. I don't know what Frank's doing. It's just magic.
It's magic.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
magic. And then this kid
they found off the street.
This kid, because he's a kid. He's like a golden retriever. That's what I think. Michael Oberholzer. Oh, I want to punch that guy in the face. He's so good.
Yeah.
And
so
he's
violent.
Like, I am.
I
that's what I
that's
do.
That's how she
people.
Expresses love.
It is.
Anger and
I do. It's love and squeezes. And but Michael Oberholzer is really, he's really, I think, something really special.
I agree.
And
with you.
I feel like that kid. Los Angeles, New York, hello, TV people. This kid should be on a freaking show yesterday. He's
so
amazing.
He can get restless and then want to return.
Yeah,
to
and then he'll go to the theater all the
yeah,
time.
The circle of life,
but
it all continues.
He's very on his toes. And I mean, he's like a little kid. Like, he's just rotten, you know? He's just a rotten little kid. He's
yeah.
just always picking up the cookie jar.
He's
opening.
A little, like, he's one of those actors that's, like, a little bit mischievous.
Yeah, that's the word.
Like, in the right
for.
Way. You
yeah.
know? And you're kind of, I'm always like, is he trying to make us laugh?
Yeah.
Or is he not? Like, sometimes I think he is.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lovely group, which is hard for me because my character's supposed to feel so shunned by them. And thank God I'm not living on campus, because I think it would make my job even harder, because they're so lovely. You know, when Randy's yelling at me, I have to really be like...
Randy Graff is so good that when she yells at me, like, three separate times, I've thought, is Randy mad at me?
Oh, yeah,
like,
she
what
is.
Did I do to upset her? She's clearly not taking this
angry.
Right now. She's so mad.
And then that Terry Kenny, who's a real hack, I mean, that guy.
In spite of Terry Kinney, we're getting this play on its feet.
Terry's really great. He's
wonderful director.
Oh, wonderful, and a wonderful actor, and has great stories.
Great stories.
You know, of that Steppenwolf life.
He's a real raconteur.
Oh, another good one.
Yeah.
Raconteur. Do you think that came from raccoon?
Yes, Leslie, it came from raccoon.
They were like,
the great,
just
the storytellers of the forest.
Again, that was really just picked it up and ran.
Thank
I put
you.
The ball on the tee for you.
Richard Greenberg's The Babylon Line runs through July 6th, the Powerhouse Theater. It's directed by Terry Kinney and starring Josh Radnor and Leslie Bibb and many more. You can find out all about it by going to powerhouse.vassar.edu, powerhouse.vassar.edu. Josh and Leslie, a great pleasure. Have a great time over the next few days. Enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, Josh Radnor and Leslie Bibb starring in The Babylon Line running through July 6th at New York Stage and Film and Vassar College's Powerhouse Theater. You can find out more by going to powerhouse.vassar.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.